From the opening of the Overture of South Pacific, an instrumental treatment of Bali High from the original cast recording. Tomorrow evening, the PBS program live from Lincoln Center will present the musical theater classic, South Pacific. It will air on our companion station, WILL-TV, at 7 p.m. Based on James Michener's Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Tales of the South Pacific, the musical tells the story of two couples, U.S. Navy nurse Nellie Forbush and French plantation owner Emile Debec, and Navy Airman Joe Cable and a young Native woman, Liat. Their lives are threatened by World War II, their happiness threatened by their prejudices. Although there have been many revivals of the musical, this production of South Pacific is the show's first return to Broadway. Jim Levensheimer is an assistant professor of musicology at Vanderbilt University and the author of South Pacific, Paradise Rewritten. I spoke with him yesterday about the enduring power of the musical.
Why does this musical endure? Well, let's jump forward to April 2008 when this the revival at Lincoln Center, which is just about to close, opened. We were in wars in two places, and we were in a presidential primary and then election that featured race prominently and was referred to, or we were referring to ourselves as a post-racial society, which was kind of optimistic, I think. But it was resonating all over again with how people think about race, how people think about war. In this case, maybe not a war that was seen as necessary as the Second World War, but wars that were nonetheless in our consciousness. And then along comes this musical, which most people, I think, remember as seeing, you know, Mary Martin and Ezio Pinza on the cast album and Some Enchanted Evening, and they forget that it's about war and people dying in war and about racial intolerance and all these things that suddenly resonate with them that they don't expect to encounter. And I think it sort of revives itself every time it's performed because people realize that it's talking about things that are still relevant, in some cases sadly so, I think.
Yeah, today we're still talking about trying to reach that goal of a post-racial society.
Exactly. And that was one of Hammerstein's passions. He was, you know, he was for a very long time on the board of the NAACP. I think he may have chaired it for a while. And he, so this was something that was very important to him and important to Rogers. After Hammerstein died, the first musical that Richard Rogers wrote, and he wrote the lyrics as well, was to a show called No Strings, which was about the problems of an interracial black and white relationship. Mm-hmm. So it stayed with him as well, even after Hammerstein had died.
The show is based on James Michener's novel, Tales of the South Pacific. How was that novel received, and how was the musical received when it opened in 1949?
Well, the novel, this was James Michener's first novel, his first book, and it was very well received, and it won a Pulitzer Prize. And it was, the problems of it for Rodgers and Hammerstein was that there was no through plot. It was really stories that were connected thematically and sometimes had characters who appeared in various of the stories, but there was no through plot line. And it was very, very well received, and they were very excited about a couple of the stories, and when they started writing the show. And when it was in previews, Boston and Philadelphia. I'm not sure about Philadelphia, but I know it was in Boston. And people kept telling them, you know, you've got to take that song out of the second act, which was You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. People were very nervous that it was so confrontational about racial intolerance that it was going to turn off audiences. And Rodgers and Hammerstein said, basically, this is why we wanted to do this musical, and we're not going to take out that song. And I think they were fairly confident that despite that song, which is less than 90 seconds long, that the show would be powerful but still successful. And they were hungry for a hit. They had had Oklahoma, which was, you know, an amazing smash, and Carousel, which was a huge hit. And then they had sort of stumbled with Allegro, in 1947, and it didn't run as long as they had anticipated, and the reviews were mixed, so they were ready to have a hit. And so they were very cautious about what they thought the reception to the show would be, because on the one hand, they wanted to edify their audience, they wanted to do this show about racial intolerance. At the same time, they wanted it to be commercially successful. So they were very cautious, and for the most part, it was received critically very, very well, although several critics, I think in the New Yorker and the Saturday Review, for instance, complained about the song You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. But the audiences responded, of course, to the production, to the music, which is, you know, glorious, and to the performances. And it was a monster hit. Ran for you know, thousands of performances and toured and played London, and it won the Pulitzer Prize and Tonys, and continues to win awards. So it was a monster hit, and almost in spite of the fact that it was so socially and politically and culturally meaningful and impacting.
It must have been quite a tall order to go about drawing attention to racism, yet doing it so that a Broadway audience would feel safe.
Oh, exactly. And what's interesting, and what I discovered as I was doing the research for my dissertation, which was the research that then informed the book, is that when Hammerstein started writing it, it was far more political and far more confrontational than it wound up being. And they were able to soften their discussion of these things and still make it powerful. And I think it's a demonstration of these two fellows who really, really, really knew what they were doing and knew how to walk that rope between having something to say and, you know, being much too confrontational about it. So they were really just brilliant in how they handled this. Because, yeah, there were other pieces. In 1949, the New York City Opera did a piece called Trouble Island by William Grant Still, which was about an insurrection in Haiti, which was African-American or African-Caribbean. The story was influenced by those powerful relations, problematic relations, and the musical Lost in the Stars by Maxwell Anderson and Kurt Weill opened, which is about apartheid in South Africa. And neither of those were nearly as successful as South Pacific, I think, because Rodgers and Hammerstein knew how to balance writing a show that would appeal to the public and at the same time make the points that they wanted to make culturally and socially and politically.
Jim Lovensheimer is a musicologist at Vanderbilt University and the author of South Pacific, Paradise Rewritten. Live from Lincoln Center will present South Pacific tomorrow evening on PBS. It will air on our companion station, WILL-TV, at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow in this portion of the afternoon magazine, we'll hear how Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote, "You've Got to Be Carefully Taught, and This Nearly Was Mine."
Bali High may call you any night, any day. In your heart you can call you, come away, come away. Bali High will whisper on the wind of the sea. Am I your special island? Come to me, come to me.
Juanita Hall in the role of Bloody Mary from the original cast recording of South Pacific. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. When composer Richard Rodgers and lyricist and librettist Oscar Hammerstein were trying out their musical South Pacific before its opening on Broadway, it was suggested they remove this song.
You've got to be taught to hate and fear. You've got to be taught from year to year. It's got to be drummed in your dear little ear. You've got to be carefully taught. You've got to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are oddly made, and people whose skin is a different shade. You've got to be carefully taught.
South Pacific opened with the song on Broadway in 1949. Based on James Michener's novel Tales of the South Pacific, the musical was pathbreaking for its exploration of race, gender, and war. Musicologist Jim Levensheimer is the author of the new book South Pacific, Paradise Rewritten. He says Rodgers and Hammerstein were not afraid of exploring the themes of Michener's novel, but they wanted the show to be a hit. Earlier this week, I spoke with Levensheimer and asked how Rodgers and Hammerstein wrote You've Got to Be Carefully Taught and the song that follows it, This Nearly Was Mine.
What can you tell us about the creation of the tune You've Got to Be Carefully Taught and the tune that follows it, This Nearly Was Mine?
Well, that's a great question. They're both technically waltzes, which is interesting. They're both in 3/4 time, but You've Got to Be Carefully Taught is a little more complex. It was written fairly early on in the process, and like I said, it was sort of the summary of what Rodgers and Hammerstein were trying to say with the show. So it was written first, and then DeBeck was going to reprise a song called Now Is the Time, which had originally been in the first act when he was trying to convince Nellie to marry him, and the lyrics were now is the time to do this and to listen to your heart. And then he reprised it when, after Cable sings You've Got to Be Carefully Taught, DeBeck decides to go on a dangerous mission with him. And then he started singing, Now Is the Time. Now is the time to act. Now is the time to do this. And the director, Joshua Logan, said, you know, this is really kind of silly, because instead of standing around singing, Now Is the Time to Act, wouldn't they just do it? And so he encouraged Rodgers and Hammerstein to write another song for DeBeck. But the problem was that Ezio Pinza was a slow study. He didn't read music, and he learned words slowly. So they had to write something quickly so that he could learn it. And Rodgers said, well, give me a title. Give me something to work with. And Hammerstein said, out of nowhere, This Nearly Was Mine. And Rodgers went off and wrote the music first, which is unusual, because in their collaboration, usually Hammerstein wrote the words first, and then Rodgers wrote the music. So Rodgers went off and wrote the music, and wrote every time in the music the phrase, This Nearly Was Mine, comes up, he wrote under that in ink, This Nearly Was Mine, and then gave that to Hammerstein. And that's on a half page of manuscript paper that I found in Hammerstein's papers, which was a really exciting moment. And so he then wrote the song, and they gave it to Pinza, and it went into the show very late in previews after Pinza had learned it. And so this conflict of Cable's song in 3/4 time, which is quick and nervous and anxious, and of course DeBeck's This Nearly Was Mine, is probably the climax of the musical, both musically and dramatically. And it is, you know, one of their most exquisite songs, I think, and one of Rodgers's innumerable waltzes. He was the American waltz king, I think. But This Nearly Was Mine has a wonderful history, because it was written quickly, and it was written in reverse order of the music coming before the words.
There are a number of songs in this show that are part of the American Songbook. There are so many wonderful songs here. Some Enchanted Evening, Younger Than Springtime. We haven't talked about those tunes. And we don't have a lot of time remaining here. But I'm wondering if you could say something about the music of South Pacific and how it holds together so beautifully.
Well, it really does. It's a magnificent score. And the Lincoln Center production, which uses the full orchestra, and at one point in the overture, the lid of the overture pulls back and the audience sees the entire orchestra, and they immediately start applauding, and of course some of us start crying because it's just so beautiful. The score, I mean, the songs for Beck, for instance, are very expansive. Some Enchanted Evening is twice as long as most show tunes are, because Beck is a European and he sings in an almost operetta-like style, and his songs are very long and developed and exquisite. Nelly, on the other hand, sings I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair, which is almost like a big band swing song with a dance section in it that sounds very much like swing, and she refers to popular music, American popular music, when she talks to DeBeck. So it has, the music is very carefully constructed for the characters, and then Bloody Mary, of course, who is Tonkinese and sort of exotic, which is a loaded word, but I think we can use it for Bloody Mary, and she sings this song that is very chromatic and very longing, and yet very exquisitely stating that if you live for a dream, you can have this dream and this island. And she sings about dreams and happy talk as well. And then Cable, of course, in Younger Than Springtime, which is another song that went through three or four incarnations. One of the earlier versions was a song called Suddenly Lucky that also had different words called Suddenly Lovely. And the director, again, liked it, but he said, isn't this a little lightweight for this moment in the plot? So they pulled it, and when the director went to, in 1951, to see The King and I, he heard the music for Suddenly Lucky with the words Getting to Know You put to it, so it lived on. And Younger Than Springtime, then, of course, is this amazing dramatic moment where Cable is transformed through his experience with this young woman, and yet that's another one of the magical moments. The twin soliloquies in the first act when DeBeck and Nelly sing, but not to each other, it's their unspoken thoughts, and it's just a score that's loaded with beautiful music, and all of it very, very specific to the characters who sing it and to the moment in the story that the song is performed. It's a really well-crafted musical.
When people come out of the theater, what are they hearing in their mind? What are they whistling? What are they humming?
Probably Some Enchanted Evening, because that's the song that you hear the most, and it's the one that ends the ends the play, and it's probably what's played as exit music as well. I don't remember what the exit music was, but I would just about bet it would be Some Enchanted Evening or Bally High or both. I would say Some Enchanted Evening because they hear it the most. But they're also coming out, and I've heard this when the show toured in 2001. I saw which was a fine production, and then when I saw it at Lincoln Center again, people are less inclined to be whistling the tunes than they are to be saying, I didn't remember this being so political, or I didn't remember all this race, which is, of course, what the whole show is about. So I think they're thinking more about the fact that they have just been made to think and singing at the same time.
There have been many revivals of this musical. The most recent, which opened in 2008, is the musical's first return to Broadway, and soon to close there. Has the show undergone changes over time in the many revivals?
In the revivals, not so much, because the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization runs a pretty tight ship, and if you're going to change something, you have to get their permission. And most, until fairly recently, and this certainly until Ted Chapin took over the Rodgers and Hammerstein, we didn't take over, but he was appointed to head the Rodgers and Hammerstein organization. They wanted the shows to be done pretty much the way they had always been done, but they have become much more open to creativity. And this show, for instance, Bartlett Sher, who did such a wonderful job directing it, returned to the first rehearsal script. And the first rehearsal script had a lot of things that were cut in previews and didn't make it to Broadway. And he went back and revisited that and put a lot of that stuff back in. And a lot of it, again, is confrontational material, or material that makes the conflict and the racial issue much more, much stronger. It has a lot more bite to it. And he put that back into the show. So it's not, this is a version of South Pacific, the one that's closing is the Broadway version, Revival is a version of the show that no one has ever seen before. Music has been put back into it, not all of the things that were cut, of course, but most of the stuff in the first rehearsal script are back in the show, so no one has ever seen this South Pacific before, which is another reason why it's so wonderful that it's going to be telecast on PBS, because people will see something that they have never seen before.
WILL-TV will air the PBS program live from Lincoln Center, South Pacific, tonight at 7. Jim Lovensheimer is an assistant professor of musicology at Vanderbilt University and the author of South Pacific, Paradise Rewritten.